Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's your honky-tonk of free speech, so you come on down to the honky-tonk. We'll play some outlaw country, and you'll drink Kentucky bourbon and get completely fecal-faced. I don't know. How can you say it? Jeremy, where am I going with this?
Well, you can get drunk on free speech and ride the mechanical bull and just have yourself a good old time. You know,
That's no bull.
There's no bull. Because, you know, there's a resurgence of suppression of free speech. And because the mainstream media has not yet learned how to allow free speech. And I think we here at National Bugle and RBN, we're going to be part of the throes of the transformation, which must take place to ensure that the mainstream media allows free speech. It's not going to be the monolithic free speech denying entity that it always was. And we're going to be at the center of that, an RBN of allowing free speech. It's a huge transformation for the media to make. And they're going into a denying free speech mode. And so we here at RBN are going to be resented for our pushing of free speech. But we're allowed to, we're always ready to do that, aren't we, Patrick?
Oh, we are. And that's what we do here. So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. There are a variety of ways to send money. You can call it in. You can, I don't know if you can email it, but you can mail it, regular boomer checkbook. There's an address. And do you have any comments on that, Jeremy?
Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you purchase $100 or more of free speech, you can get a free T-shirt or mug from RBN. So please include your address and your T-shirt size if you purchase $100 or more.
Okay. And then there's the CoCertified app. You're going to want that app. And that's cheap. That's what are we talking about? Is it $3.99? Or you can use it for free online. So it's not going to eat into your RBN budget. So you can do both. It's an easy call. So go to nationalbugle.com and download that CoCertified app. All right, we got all sorts of stuff to talk about. We had a very interesting part one of the Patrick and Jeremy show on your show Tuesday night, and now we are going on for part two, and we've got some Lukashenko news, don't we?
NATO expansion into the Ukraine would cross red lines and force Russia and Belarus to act. This is according to Kremlin. This is after the Putin and Lukashenko summit. Boy, I'd like to be a fly on that wall, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they had their summit meeting in Sochi, which is on the Black Sea. And why is there's a Jewish president of Ukraine. He was a comedian. And when he first came in, you know, even though he was a Jewish comedian, it's like, well, okay, maybe he's going to improve relations with Russia. But no. It is as you might have expected. And so he's trying to get into NATO. He's trying to get NATO to do war games. He's trying to bring in like NATO warships into the Black Sea, which last time I checked wasn't really the North Atlantic. It's pretty far away from the Atlantic, but whatever. So that's it's bad news. Lukashenko, Belarus is compared to Russia, it's tiny, and it had been part of the Soviet Union, but Belarus is there. It actually has a border with Poland, and you know, Poland and also Lithuania, which are both and also Latvia as well. These are all NATO countries now, so it's got NATO right on its border, just, you know, right there. And Lukashenko has been the object of a fake and gay op that was trying to overthrow him last summer.
through the election hoax. Election hoax on the other side. Lukashenko legit won, and so they put players in there that were posing as protesters. Most of them women that said that Lukashenko was not the legit president. So they tried a little bit of a coup there, and it didn't work.
It didn't work, and Lukashenko really just, he had a better look than, I think, much better optics than Trump, where Trump, he somehow dragged Milley and, is it Milley or Miley? Is it like, is his name General Miley Cyrus?
Milley Cyrus.
I guess the military version of Miley Cyrus. Is that it? And he dragged him and maybe Mark Esper across Pennsylvania Avenue and stood in front of a slightly burnt, slightly toasted, what is that? Is that St. John's Church across the street?
Church.
And held up a Bible. And of course, I guess he was well-meaning, but we know Trump's not really a religious person. And it seemed kind of fake and just a photo op. Whereas President Lukashenko went out with his sons and they had their AK-47s or whatever, and they were just walking, and he walks up to the troops and says, "Hey, we'll take care of those protesters. Just don't worry about it." And okay, maybe that was a fake photo op, but it was a lot more awesome of a photo op than what Trump did, in my mind. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, agreed there. Sometimes a show of force is what you need to secure peace. But anyway, I'm reading from this RT article talking about this. Russia and Belarus have both agreed to take action to secure the security of both countries if there were to be any expansion of NATO infrastructure into neighboring Ukraine. And this is according to the Kremlin on Monday, a couple of days ago. So good to see that they have each other's back and take action. I wonder what take action means. Why does Russia want war with us? We have all of our bases. We've plastered all of our bases around their country. Why would they possibly think there's a conflict coming?
Well, and this has been going on. President Gorbachev in, I guess, 1989, when the Berlin Wall fell, well, he allowed it to fall. He was allowing these countries to go their own way, and part of going their own way meant East Germany. We sometimes forget about the East and West Germany, but East Germany was allowed to reunite with West Germany. And when you think of things with, for instance, our small-hatted friends and their resistance to the, what was it called, Anschluss, the union between Germany and Austria. German unification's never been something that was thought of very highly, but German unification went ahead. But the thing is, West Germany was in NATO, and so that was a big issue in allowing Germany to be reunited. To have reunited a united Germany with East Germany then being part of NATO? But Gorbachev said, "Okay, we'll allow that," but the promise had been made to him. Okay, if you allow a united Germany inside of NATO, then we won't move NATO one inch to the east. That'll be it. And Gorbachev should have gotten it in writing as a treaty, but he didn't. He just took it as he took the George Bush and James Baker's word of honor, and that was a mistake. And then, of course, once Clinton became president, they just started pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And now you've got former Soviet republics, not just Eastern European satellite states, but former Soviet republics, former parts of the Soviet Union that are now part of NATO, including Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And this is something that is massively threatening to Russia, especially as Russia, President Putin is routinely vilified. And, we've got so many problems that we barely notice that we're kind of on the verge of World War III. I mean, it could really happen.
Yeah, because Putin and Lukashenko agreed that another move eastward by the U.S.-led alliance speaking of NATO, would be met with strong response. And so you got also Dmitry Peskov added that the two leaders discussed the subject of Ukraine's potential accession to the bloc on numerous occasions, and that any kind of move would cross one of Putin's red lines. What about this Ukraine's possible accession to the bloc?
We see it shouldn't happen because in order to join NATO, according to NATO's own bylaws, countries should have worked out their any territorial issues that they have. And right now, Ukraine is still claiming Crimea. Russia has annexed Crimea. Crimea declared independence from Ukraine, applied for membership in the Russian Federation, and was accepted. So there is an outstanding territorial issue. The same with Georgia. They're not talking about Georgia too much right now, but Georgia also has these territorial issues. And because it has breakaway republics that have not joined Russia, but they are de facto protectorates of Russia. And, you know, these are areas, in the case of Georgia, these two areas, one's called South Ossetia and the other's called Abkhazia. And these are areas that when the Soviet Union fell apart, they did not want to be ruled by Georgia. And they never have been ruled by independent Georgia because these are ethnic enclaves that are not Georgian and they would rather be associated with the Russian Federation, even though technically they're not part of the Russian Federation. They're technically, like, they claim to be independent countries at this point, but nobody recognizes them. But it's the status quo is there. And but the thing is with Ukraine's a very big country. You know, this is a country as big as any other in Europe. If you're looking at the map, it's got you know, it's got as much land as France or Spain, and it's got about as many people as well. It's a big, its population's been falling, but this is a very big country. And it also has as at least a third of its population is ethnic Russian speaking, and to incorporate that into NATO, it would put the heart of Russia, because Russia, I mean, most of the Russian population is in the western part of the country, you know, and it would just bring NATO right into the heart of Russia, and it's just completely unacceptable. And of course, you've got this Jewish president in Ukraine, who apparently I don't know if they just passed the legislation or they're introducing legislation that makes Andy Hitchcock was talking about this morning on Dr. Duke's show, makes anti-Semitism illegal, not just expressions of anti-Semitism or, you know, anti-Semitic behavior, but anti-Semitic thought. I mean, just
cool it with the anti-Semitic thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. You better cool it with the anti-Semitic thoughts. So they're really, really pushing it. And so all sorts of things could happen. It's but you've got this emerging alliance between China and Russia. Iran was just admitted to I guess they call it the Shanghai Cooperation Council or something like that, which is a de facto alliance between China, Russia, and some of these Central Asian countries that used to be Soviet republics. But bringing Iran into it, I mean, now you're having a real formidable alliance there. You know,
I just wanted to sort of get into the details of this for the audience and for me too. The Ukraine joining this bloc of NATO, that's being hindered because of the territorial dispute of the peninsula, right? Peninsula.
It should be, but there's a push to bring in Ukraine anyway. And the thing is, when NATO was set up, I mean, who would want to accept a member of a mutual defense pact that's got a outstanding territorial issue with another country?
And so we see strategically why Putin annexed Crimea, because he saw that coming. He was heading them off to the pass, right?
I don't know. You know, Crimea's got a complicated history, and even after the formation. It never was Ukrainian. It's been part of the Russian Empire for centuries. And of course, there was the Crimean War between Britain and the Russian Empire in what, the 1850s. But the thing is, it was never Ukrainian. And even after the formation of the Soviet Union, and you had these republics, the Soviet republics within the Soviet Union, it wasn't until the mid 1950s. Crimea was part of the Russian Republic. And then just in as kind of like domestic politics and horse trading, in order to curry the favor of the Ukrainian communist, the Ukrainian branch of the Communist Party, Khrushchev, who was an ethnic Russian, but he had earlier in his career been the party boss of Ukraine, He transferred Crimea to Ukraine as like a birthday present. You know, there was no real legitimate basis for it, and there wasn't too much opposition to it because at that, you know, the republics within the Soviet Union were not very significant. It really didn't matter that much whether, because the Soviet Union was very centralized, so it didn't matter that much that it was transferred. Just like, how much would it really matter if a county in Kentucky was transferred to Tennessee?
Right.
You know?
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
And so going on into the article in the next paragraph, the Ukrainian President Zelensky is hosting 15 countries who will take part in a combined military exercise, the purpose of which is to solidify NATO's presence in the Black Sea. So that's another thing here that's being addressed by Putin and Lukashenko.
Yeah. So it's all bad news, and you've got so many things going on that it's hard to keep your eye on everything. But you've got the fake Biden administration, which is rattling sabers with China. And of course, the Democrats Party in general has been vilifying Russia. The Jewish Democratic Party been vilifying Russia and Iran. Well, now Russia, Iran, and China effectively have a military alliance. And you've got the West, the so-called West, in the throes of this massive crackdown on personal freedom. And who knows how that's going to go? And so what happens? What happens if there's that whole tail wags the dog scenario, right? Where when things are going really, really bad, you just start a war. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I think there is an increased threat, increased risk.
Let's speak to the point of how the Hungarian country is weighing in on this. I mean, they're apparently objecting to the Ukraine joining NATO as well. There's a lot of Hungarians in Ukraine. So they're saying that it failed to meet required criteria. That's what the Hungarian government's saying. Can you speak to that point?
So that would be kind of an excuse. So for one thing, Ukraine, it's the legitimacy of its democratic elections can be, and processes could be questioned. Oh, by the way, let's address this on the other side of the break. Okay.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number and check.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Back, and so we are addressing Viktor Orban and the Hungarian government's objections to Ukrainian membership in NATO. And the Hungarian government, rather than talking about the threat that this poses to Russia and those issues, which probably would probably fall on deaf ears, I think this is the thinking here, because Viktor Orban and Putin get along. I think the idea here is for to object to it on these, you know, more procedural, or Ukraine doesn't meet the these standards and of democracy or freedom or whatever, but also probably would be pointing to the failure to have resolved its territorial issues.
Now, well, that's interesting. No, I just want to make a point of clarification for me. So the Hungarian president is saying, basically, to join NATO, you have to observe certain democratic standards. And because Hungarians in Ukraine are having their rights violated, Ukraine would not qualify to join NATO. Is that what I'm getting from that?
I think that's probably what he's saying. Hungary, you know, you look at Hungary right now on the map, and it's not very large. If you were to look at if you were to get out a map of Europe before World War One, right? Anytime like late 1800s, early 1900s, there was the Austro-Hungarian Empire. But within the Austro-Hungarian Empire, actually a majority of the land was in the Kingdom of Hungary. So Hungary, 110 years ago, was a very large country. It was, it might not have been as large as France, but it was pretty big. It was getting, it was pretty close. I mean, it was, it had the majority of the land in the Austria. The Austrian section of Austria-Hungary was smaller than the Hungarian section, a little bit smaller, but it was smaller. And so you've, and of course, within the Kingdom of Hungary, you know, it was dominated by Hungarians, but you had Ukrainians, you had Romanians, you had Poles, you had different people in there, but it was dominated by Hungarians. Well, what happened is after World War One, they chopped it up, and Hungary was just left with areas that didn't really have much in terms of minorities. It was Hungary was left with a pretty pure Hungarian area, but there was loads of Hungarians that were orphaned in Romania. Like Transylvania is a big hunk of Romania, and that I think is majority Hungarian. And there was a lot that were orphaned in an area that wound up being acquired by Ukraine or by the Soviet Union and then Ukraine. And so, yeah, there's a massive and in Yugoslavia too, there's a massive Hungarian diaspora around Eastern Europe. And so, you know, Hungary, and which is part of the reason, I guess, that Hungary was allied with Germany in World War II, because, you know, these were both countries that were trying to regain territory that had been part of their, that they had lost in World War One, and along with the territory, it also lost their, you know, their ethnic brethren. So you've got that there.
What's bottom line, the main question here that I'm seeing? So what if you know, the Ukraine does join NATO anyway, and you have NATO verging further east? Then what? Like, what do you see Putin and Lukashenko doing? What would the response be?
See, I don't really know, but when you talk about red lines, and they were talking about red lines, the implication sounds like there would be some sort of military action taken that could prompt. I'm not exactly sure what would be thought, but you've got right now in Ukraine, you have these two provinces in the east, two large provinces, much bigger each one than Crimea. What are they called? They're called collectively they're called the Donbass. One is Lugansk and the other is Donetsk, I think is the names of those provinces. And that's a big hunk of territory. They have both declared independence from Ukraine, but unlike Crimea, were not granted admission to the Russian Federation. What you could have is they could wind up being annexed. You could have a big hunk of Ukraine being annexed to Russia. And these are areas that Ukraine does not currently control. They haven't controlled them since 2014. And that's what this Ukrainian civil war is about. These are Russian-speaking areas, and they could be annexed. That the dismemberment of the further dismemberment of Ukraine could be the result of this. And then what happens?
And so also, bigger picture, like while we're over here worrying about, you know, COVID restrictions and jabs, World War III could spark over this Ukraine dispute.
Yeah, it could. It could, because so what happens? So you've got these two areas, and it's a big hunk of Ukraine that already the Ukrainian government in Kiev does not control, that already are trying to be annexed by Russia. Well, what if Russia goes ahead and annexes it, and Ukraine is part of NATO, and it's had part of its territory annexed? That would, you would think that that would trigger the collective defense mechanism of NATO, and all the NATO members would be obliged to go to war with Russia, and that would be a very bad thing. But we're at the break. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life
with Extendivite.
We are back. So we've gone pretty deep into the Hungarian, Ukrainian, Belarusian, Russian issue, and it's all dangerous. And you know, war could break out over this. It could break out over stuff in Iran, or the Straits of Taiwan, South China Sea. We're really living in very precarious times, but I don't know. Do you have any other points you want to raise about this?
No, I think we covered it well.
Okay.
And meanwhile, over in Switzerland, we are reaching levels of global homo that shouldn't even be possible. Switzerland is to legalize gay marriage and the right for homosexuals to adopt children. I'm covering a Stormer article here, and they're quoting the CBC. Let's see, let's just pull that up real quick so we can, yeah. Swiss voters back same-sex marriage and adoption by a clear majority. Is Switzerland, real quick, isn't Switzerland one of the areas that are not really enforcing the COVID hoax? Haven't they backed off?
Well, Sweden was. I don't know about Switzerland. Sweden never went that deep into the COVID stuff. And I think Denmark and Norway have backed off significantly. I'm not sure about Switzerland, but Switzerland is a very different country. It was non-allied during world. It was neutral. It's been neutral in every war since the 1700s. So it was neutral in World War II. It's not part of NATO. It didn't even join the United Nations until fairly recently because it was worried about its, you know, getting dragged into a war. So it's very neutral. And it didn't have women couldn't vote until about like 1992 or something.
Yeah.
But it also has a system of government where referendums are like really frequent. They have referendums. So two things that characterize its system is very frequent referendums. So basically every voter is like a congressman, right? I mean, because they vote directly on things. That's one feature of their system. The other feature of their system is they have cantons. And canton is basically, it comes from the same word as county. So they have these county-sized areas that have an extreme amount of like self-rule. And so, you know, the laws can be very different from one canton to another. And so, I mean, traditionally, the bulk of Switzerland was German, but you had... You know, near Lake Geneva, you had French, and down adjacent to Italy, you had Italians, and then you had this one other group in one canton that had that spoke the language called Romansh, which I guess is like similar to Latin or something. But it has, even when I went there in the 1980s, it already was getting an awful lot of immigration, and so you had Chinese, you had Turks, you had a lot of immigration, and by now I'm sure it's pretty overrun. And I don't know what the percentage of the traditional population is there. One other interesting thing is men were required to bear arms. They were required, and they had to keep their arms in their house. The men were required to keep guns in their house.
Well, no corner or crevice of Europe is going to be immune from global homo, and this very based Switzerland corner here has been completely infiltrated and ruined, as you mentioned, by migration. And now you're talking about one of these referendums on Sunday. You had a two-thirds majority in this referendum, which legalized civil marriage of homos and the right to adopt children. Nothing about that can turn out well, and so it's bad enough destroying this, completely white based country with migration and refugees, but now they're going to totally destroy it through homosexuality, and it's a shame. It's really a shame that they actually went with this, that this referendum, like, so the people there are actually saying this is good. Complete and total brainwashing. Quoting Antonia Hawsworth of the National Committee for Marriage of All, she said, "We are happy and relieved," adding that supporters would celebrate in Switzerland's capital, Bern, on Sunday. Bern. I think that's the German or Germanic word for baby or born.
Is it? I was thinking maybe it was named after a Deep Purple song.
I'm pretty sure Bern means baby or young person.
Yeah, I didn't go to Bern. I went to Geneva. I went to Zurich.
So this allows same-sex couples to get married and adopt children unrelated to them. And also, married lesbian couples will also be allowed to have children through sperm donation. Which used to be currently only legal for married heterosexual couples. And it's also making it easier for foreign spouses of a Swiss individual to get citizenship. So you got full global homo spectrum coming into view here. The total destruction of the Swiss society.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Like I said, even in 1984, I was surprised at how many non-traditional people were there. And I don't know what that was all about. One thing I think with Germany and some of the other countries, I mean, some of the countries like England and France and Portugal had, in Holland, had colonial empires, and, you know, wound up getting a lot of their former colonial people, allowing them easier immigration. In places like Germany, the thing is the birth rate was low, and so you had foreigners who were let in on with work visas. They weren't given citizenship, but they wound up getting permanent residency and being there. And then I can't help but thinking, well, I wonder how this would have turned out if women didn't get the vote in 1992. I mean, like, on the one hand, it's hard to imagine a European country refusing to allow women to vote to hold out until 1992. But if women weren't voting, could you imagine this getting a 2/3 majority?
No, I could absolutely not imagine that. And that is the detriment. I mean, of Western civilization is women being able to vote. And if you don't think so, I mean, just look at these BLM protests with all these white women out in the front of it. I mean, women are easily manipulated, and that's why the Bible says they shouldn't be ruling over men. But, you know, you have a similar situation in Ireland, which has only fallen in the last probably 10 to 15 years. Ireland was very right-wing conservative, especially on the abortion issue, and they've completely toppled Ireland. They have a gay Indian as their prime minister. And
is he an Indian or a Paki?
Probably Paki. Indian Paki. They all look alike. Yeah. He's a total fudge packer. And, like, you know, it doesn't surprise me. You know, as the leadership goes, so goes the society. And they're allowing millions of refugees into this, at least 1 million the last I heard, in an island of, what, 6 to 7 million Irish. It's going to totally destroy their demographics and their culture. And, you know, now they're allowing abortion and same-sex marriage. And so you see this happening very rapidly. It's almost like the more based and the more traditional the European society, the quicker that they are falling as of late. It's like they're taking them down fast. You know, Well, with America, it was gradual since the 60s. But with, like, Ireland and Switzerland, it happened real quick.
So, I mean, it seems like there's kind of a go for broke. And I don't know how much this explains Ireland and Switzerland, but, with the United States, you mentioned this was going on gradually. And I think it was almost set in stone. Like, I did think in the 2014, 2015 with the gay marriage decision and everything, that it seemed like they were running a victory lap, that they thought they had everything. But if Hillary Clinton had been elected, they would have just coasted in. They would have just coasted in. They would have been prepared to. Honestly, there might, with Hillary, there might not have been the Zerg rush at the border. There might not have been the Corona apocalypse. But because, you know, there's no resistance, so why rush it, right? With, I think, the Trump and the Brexit phenomena, it was a shock to the system, and it gave the double or nothing people the upper hand, and it's like we got to seal the deal now, because if they didn't start getting drastic, Trump might have built a wall, and you might have had, like, you know, some sort of civic nationalism with white characteristics, you know.
Yeah.
And it was just too much of a threat, and so they just pulled out all the stops, and we're going through this. And it's high risk, because it could totally blow up in their face, or we could wind up living the rest of our lives in absolute tyranny.
Speaking of blowing up in their faces, I've got this political article, if you want to skip a little bit down in the prep. Joe Biden, welcome to the Thunderdome. That headline really caught my eye. Apparently, I guess some people in Biden's own you know, Democrat Party are turning on him. It says here that though he is beset by turmoil overseas, confronting the chaos at the border, and struggling to contain a deadly pandemic back home, the president's main challenge this week comes from his own party. With his economic and domestic policy agenda on the line, President Joe Biden needs a big win from his fellow Democrats, whose early unity around his presidency has been strained as summer turns to fall. Biden is now trying to coax them back together in an advert, an electoral disaster in 2022. So I guess the consensus here is that with, you know, the Afghanistan thing and the border thing, Republicans and Democrats alike are turning on Biden. And so the worry here is, will the Dems keep the seats in 2022?
And, you know, obviously there's great potential for fraud. But the thing is, the fraud in statewide elections, and of course the presidency is a collection of statewide elections, basically. In a statewide election, you can have the black cities, the big black cities can determine, with fraud in the big black cities, you can determine a statewide election. But fraud in Detroit isn't going to determine who wins a congressional seat in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, right?
Right.
And so the fraud, I do think it would play a lesser role in the House of Representatives elections. And I think even with the fraud, that probably the Democrats will lose the House next year. But who knows what's going to happen by next year. But I think they have every reason to be worried about it, even with the fraud, because in most parts of these states, most parts of Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin or Georgia, there's probably not that much fraud. And in the swing districts, there's might not be enough fraud.
And that's the gist of the article, is worried about a backlash, from all of the events of this year, worried about a backlash. And so something that they cannot contain with election fraud. And I guess that's why Joe Biden's going into the Thunderdome, as it were. He's really battling.
Where's that? The Thunderdome?
I mean, it's not a place. I mean, that's a phrase, you know, from the Mad Max number 3 movie in the 80s, Beyond Thunderdome. Yeah, Matt, the hero, Mel Gibson, had to go into the Thunderdome to fight for his very freedom. And so I guess that's what Joe Biden means by welcome to the Thunderdome. He's having to fight for the Democrat Party against this backlash that they know is coming in 2022.
And so they might eject him. And when you talk about Joe Biden really, like, he's not an individual. And I'm not saying he is like three different actors. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're talking about Joe Biden includes Jen Psaki. Joe Biden includes the Darth Vader Negro guy. The guy he's a combination of Darth Vader and the gorillas from the Planet of the Apes. You know who I'm talking about? The defense guy. What's his name?
Defense guy.
Yeah, oh, wow. The Secretary of Defense. Yeah. Gerald Austin.
Austin. But you're saying he's like similar to James Earl Jones?
Yeah, he's like James Earl Jones in a Planet of the Apes gorilla makeup. That's what I'm saying. Am I wrong?
Not wrong.
I don't think I'm wrong. And Joe Biden includes Tony Blinken. So there are a bunch of people that if chlamydia takes over, they're gone. They're gone. You're going to have Simone Sanders, who would be the press secretary, which is going to be gross, and there's going to be a lot of attitude there. So there is that collective Joe Biden that actually is fighting for their political survival, even though Joe Biden, the individual, is probably pretty clueless.
Well, let's make no mistake, even if the Republicans do take the House, I mean, we really haven't won. I mean,
No.
The Republicans now are so, like, you know, neutered. They don't have any power. It's not going to mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's a point I'm glad you made, because it's not as if Democrats losing the House is really going to do much for us, because the Republicans are so useless. But if you're a Democrat, it is something that you worry about.
And they could use it as further justification to oust Biden in the track court video.
Exactly. They could. But we're at the last break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We are back. Okay, what's next on our agenda?
There's another kind of great replacement going on up in New York. And this is according to dailystormer.su, also known as Hoax Watch, John Carpenter. National Guard to replace unvaccinated healthcare workers in New York. And The Guardian reports that the governor of New York, Anthony Hoochie Coochie.
Hoochie Coochie, that's right.
Governor Hoochie is considering using the National Guard and out-of-state medical workers to fill staffing shortages. So I just want to add here what I'm seeing, what I'm reading when I read this between the lines, is that we're setting a precedent for National Guard to come in to communities and take some sort of power, right? Also foreign workers coming in. So it's not, as you and I have discussed multiple times, it's not the UN or the Chinese coming in and invading America that we got to worry about. It's our own military that could come in and take power. I mean, what could this lead to? They could declare any community where they have lack of medical workers, they could declare that a national disaster and deploy the guard. With all the guard, you know, the good people being gone that denied the vaccine, they're only left with, leftist shills that could really abuse us.
So, and you know, why are they not having, why are they having a shortage of medical workers? Because they just fired them.
Yeah. So what if in every state of America, they declared this emergency and they deployed totally leftist, BLM-friendly, Antifa-friendly, vaccine regime-friendly National Guardsmen that just come in and do total, it could turn into total, where the military takes over and you can't go outside?
Yeah, martial law.
Martial law.
Yeah.
I mean, is that too out in Australia?
Yeah, because when you figure that we're basically only a few months behind Australia on so many of these measures, and you see what's going on in Australia now, this is not paranoid conspiracy theory stuff to think about it. Now, my question for you is, compared to active duty army, for instance, what is the, let's say, the racial makeup and maybe political attitude, cultural makeup of the National Guard compared to the active duty military?
No, it's about the same. And I'm judging it from Kentucky. I mean, 75% of National Guard and active duty are going to be very patriotic, conservative, right wing. But that percentage is dwindling in the last decade as they, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. You can have trannies in. A large portion of the military are getting out because of the vaccine.
And being replaced because of white supremacism?
Yeah, so anybody that's left in the National Guard and active duty are going to be totally in line with the virus regime, global homo. And it could take a year to do that, but I'm talking a year out. What if next year, you know, you have 70% of the Guard and Reserve and active duty are global homo? And they're deployed into your city because your hospital doesn't have enough workers. What kind of a situation does that build? It's a very scary one. It's some Alex Jones tier stuff, my guy.
It is. And unfortunately, we don't have any more time to talk about it. But thank you very much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard. Yeah.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.